All right, so let's continue now on the woes in the Bible, the woes in the Word of God. I'd like us to turn today to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5, and let's look at verse number 20 together. It says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And of course, what we're reading here in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, what it's talking about, I believe, is America today. That is what is happening right now in America today, in our society, the way things are going on, amen? Evil is being called good, and good is being called evil, amen? I remember years ago, maybe 100 years ago, maybe less than that, that ungodly people, people that were not saved, act more godly than so-called godly or saved people today, amen. Today, if you profess Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're called a hater, amen, intolerant, amen, narrow-minded, amen, and all these other things, amen. If you speak up against abortion, amen, or homosexuality, sodomy, perverts, amen, you are called again intolerant, preaching hatred, amen, being narrow-minded. If you live your life according to the Word of God, amen, the society will say there's something wrong with you. See, that's where we're at today in America, in our society. We're at a place, and God says, woe unto them, amen. Because you do this, amen, you're asking for it. You're asking for a lot of hurt. That's why America, dear my dear friends, is on a skid right now. You know, a slide, as a child, you go down a slide, sometimes you would get maybe stuck or something, and you wouldn't go right down. But let me tell you, the slide America is on is greased. We're sliding, amen, quickly, amen, as a nation, into hell. You know, even though we've got a new change in administration in the White House, amen, maybe it'll prevent that slide a little bit, keep it from going a little bit longer. But let me tell you, we're getting there. We're getting there as a nation. We're at a point in our society where we're calling evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness. You know, in other words, the things are opposite. Things have entirely different meanings than they did years ago. For example, someone that's a pervert, a homosexual, amen, is called gay. Let me tell you, there's nothing gay about them. It's very sad, amen. It's wicked. It's an abomination before God. Now, someone, for example, who commits adultery, amen, which God hates, it's called an extramarital affair. Or if you say anything, you're judging, amen, and that's not right, amen, and that, you know, it's just something that happens in society today, amen. Oh, what wickedness. What wickedness. Just like we have same-sex marriages being pushed today, and what they're called, people living together of the same sex, amen, amen, as husband and wife, amen. It's just called an alternative lifestyle. There's nothing wrong with it, amen. See, this is where we're at today. Look at with me also as we're in the book of Isaiah. Let's go to chapter 10. In Isaiah chapter 10, now look at, in connection with this woe, I call it woe to perverted judgment. Woe to perverted judgment. Looking in Isaiah chapter 10 with me right now. And we read in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees, that right grievousness which they have prescribed. Amen. And of course, this is a warning. Amen. This is a woe, again, to a perverted judgment, and particularly to those that are in authority, those that have a rule. God is signaling out, I believe. And notice what he says. He's saying, woe unto them. You're asking for it. Those of you that decree unrighteous decrees, and those that write grievousness which they have prescribed. You know, as I got thinking about this, again, unrighteous decrees, you know, I think of, again, what they're pushing today, especially maybe not where you're at in the state that you're living in. Of course, I live and grew up in Massachusetts, amen. I'm not proud of it, per se. We're a very, unfortunately, a liberal state, amen. Amen. I believe it's a very godless state. Some of our people in the Senate and House of Representatives are very ungodly. But, you know, I think about in this state, for example, we think of unrighteous decrees. They're really trying to push same-sex marriages. Amen. We know that they have done this in Vermont. And in Hawaii, amen, and it's really being pushed in my state of Massachusetts, amen, and it's being pushed around the United States of America. So don't think, amen, that it couldn't happen where you live, because let me tell you, it certainly can. Another unrighteous decree or grievousness which they have prescribed is allowing homosexuals to adopt. Amen. What an unrighteous decree is that? Amen. Oh, they should have the right to adopt so they can twist somebody else's mind to their perversion. Amen. Another unrighteous decree is the no death penalty. Amen. A lot of states in our country have no death penalty. And of course, God says in the cases of premeditated murder, first degree murder as it's sometimes called, that a life should be taken for one life for taking another life, amen. And that's true, amen. God is for capital punishment, amen. And then, of course, another unrighteous decree, I think of a very famous one, is the Supreme Court ruling of Roe versus Wade that allows abortion on demand, amen. Another unrighteous decree. How about no prayer in school, public school, amen? Or being able to pray at public events, amen? Or taking the Bible, the Word of God, and the Ten Commandments out of school. All of these, my dear friends, are unrighteous decrees. And God says, whoa, you know, you're asking for it. You know, no wonder the things are going. People say, I can't understand, you know, why our country is the way it is. Well, if you just look at some of these things, amen. And, of course, they didn't all happen one at a time. You know, the devil is very subtle, as he was in that Garden of Eden with Eve and Adam, amen. And he's very tricky. So these little things have been coming slowly in, you know, like spoon-feeding people so they get used to it, amen. But woe to this country. Woe to those who have decreed unrighteous decrees, that come up with unrighteous laws. You know, the criminal today gets more protection and more rights than the victim. Isn't that true, amen? You look at some of these prisons. Amen. They're like country clubs. They have, you know, they have a nice, safe environment. They have TV and sporting equipment and meals and so forth and so on. Amen. And I think I was hearing a report just recently to house a prisoner. Amen. For 1 year, it costs like $24,000. Amen. $24,000. And that's coming out of, if you're a taxpayer. And I don't know about you, but I work hard for my money, amen. I pastor a church, but I also have a full-time, a 40-hour job, and I work hard for my money. I don't know about you, but that prisoner, amen, that lawbreaker, amen, is being taken care of by your tax dollars and my tax dollars. Talk about an unrighteous decree. Amen. Another unrighteous decree. I think about the a former president, President William Jefferson Clinton. Amen. How he pardoned all these people. Amen. And if you look in their backgrounds, the things that they had committed, some of them had stolen money and all these other things, have been drug dealers and so forth and so on. Talk about an unrighteous decree, pardoning these folks, amen. And, you know, just because in some way they contributed to either his campaign or did something to benefit him. So woe to perverted judgment, amen, and that's happening in America today. Now, I want us to look at another woe, amen. I want us to look at the woes to pastors, the woes to pastors. The Word of God has some strong things to say to pastors, amen? And it should be, because we're held at a higher level of accountability than the average person in the pew. He says, as we look at Jeremiah chapter 23, Jeremiah chapter 23, in verse number 1, it says, "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord." Whoa. You're asking for it. He's saying, God's saying, you're asking for it, buddy. You're asking for it, pastors, that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. How does that happen? How does a pastor destroy and scatter the sheep of God's pasture? Well, let me tell you. Amen. When that man of God, when that pastor falls to sin, amen. And let me tell you, I mentioned it last time. I've been in a church where the pastor fell to adultery, one pastor. Second pastor fell to the sin of child molestation, molested his own daughter. Amen. What a sin, what a shame. But what happened? What eventually happened to the sheep? Well, they scattered. They were destroyed. Amen. The doors of that church finally closed. Oh, how sad. And some of those folks aren't in church today. Why? Because pastors destroyed and scattered the sheep of God's pasture. Amen. And I'm not picking on people. I think it's very sad. Amen. So, pastor, if you're listening, you got to be very careful. The devil wants to trip you and I up. He wants to destroy and scatter the pasture of the Lord that the Lord has given us to be overseers of, amen, to take care of. What a great responsibility that you and I have as pastors. And woe to you and I if we do something to scatter and destroy the pasture, God's pasture, his sheep, his people, amen, that he has given to us to take care of, to help grow and feed and nurture in the things of God, amen. Woe to us. Notice also with me, in Ezekiel 34, in Ezekiel chapter 34, as we're looking, continue to look at woes in the Bible, we're looking at woes that God gives to pastors. Ezekiel 34, verse 2. Word of God says in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 2, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord of the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do not feed, that do feed themselves, should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Amen. I know he's mentioning Israel, but we certainly can make a spiritual application to pastors today. He pronounces a woe upon them. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do not feed, or that do feed themselves, should not the shepherds feed the flocks. Now, how does this happen? Now, we know that we are given clear instructions, pastors, are we not, to feed the flock of God? I remember, for example, when Paul the Apostle had gathered all the elders, all the pastors of Ephesus together, and he was giving them a farewell address, amen, because he probably didn't know whether he would ever see them again. But notice what he instructs them in Acts chapter 20, in verse 28. He says, he gives them a very solemn charge. And he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed. See that? To feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Church. The church of God is very precious to our Lord. Why is it precious? Because his, our Lord's precious sinless blood was shed to purchase the church of God. That's how we were purchased, by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how we were redeemed, by the blood of Jesus Christ. And he says, feed the flock, amen. Feed the church of God, amen. Which the Holy Ghost, places a pastor. It says here, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. The Holy Ghost is the one who places a man over a congregation, amen, over a flock. Amen. It's the Holy Ghost. It's put that man of God over there to be an overseer, to watch, to care, to nurture, to feed, to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. And then Peter, the Apostle Peter, over there in his first epistle, in the first epistle of Peter in chapter number 5, he tells the elders, he's talking to pastors, and he says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. He says to feed the flock of God. Now, how is it we have a woe here in Ezekiel chapter 34 in verse 2, where it says, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves, should not the shepherds feed the flock, or feed the flocks? Now, what is he talking about here? Well, I believe it's a couple of things. Amen. You know, a pastor, the reason, one of the two main ministries of a pastor is to pray. Pray for those in his congregation, amen. Pray for, you know, what the Lord would have him to do as far as being a pastor. And also to be a student of the Word of God. Why? So he can feed the flock. Now, it could mean here possibly that you have pastors that study, amen, but never teach, never feed the flock of God what they've learned. That's the purpose. That's, you know, it's not God's purpose to fill a pastor's head up with Bible knowledge just so he can keep it to himself and feed on it. No, it's so he can feed the flock of God, which is one of his main God-given responsibilities. Amen. It could also mean a pastor feeding himself and not feeding the flock could also mean is, you know, some men are in it for the money, for filthy lucre. Amen. And they get a good salary. And they're well fed and well provided for. But they don't, they're not teaching the word of God and preaching the word of God like they should. Amen. So that's what I believe that woe is all about. And there's preachers out there. Amen. I hope if you're a preacher listening to this lesson today, this study, that you're not fall into that category. Now look with me also in Zechariah chapter 11. Zechariah chapter 11. Now in Zechariah chapter 11, we want to look together at verse number 17. It says, woe, in Zechariah 11, verse 17, woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. Well, I believe what he's talking about here is, you know, you have some preachers that they, instead of being in their church, especially on Sunday, amen, and preaching the teaching, the word of God to the flock that God has given him. Instead, this preacher likes to go and preach in this conference, in that conference. You know, he's never there. Amen. He's always preaching somewhere else. Amen. That's not what God has given him the responsibility. Amen. His responsibility is to feed the flock of God. And he's an idle shepherd if he leaveth the flock and goes somewhere else. A lot of these guys, all they want to do is have the preeminence. And we see it today. You know, there's different, what I like to call them, different camps that preachers travel in. And, you know, they'll only preach in the, in churches that belong to these certain group of preachers, amen. There's a camp over here and a camp over there, and if you're not in that camp, they're not going to have you in. Amen. I'm sorry to say it, but a lot of Baptist preachers are like little children, amen. They want to have the preeminence. If you're not in the same group with them, and then they won't have nothing to do with you, you know. They won't play with you like when you were a kid, amen, the little babies. But that's not what God has called us to do. He's not called us to leave the flock. We should be there, amen. On occasion, I believe it's okay. It's all right to go and maybe preach a conference or two. But primarily, your responsibility and my responsibility as pastors of local churches is to be in that pulpit on Sunday, amen. And Wednesday, or whenever you have prayer meeting. You should be there. Amen. You should be there feeding the flock of God. Not trying to build up a name for yourself. Amen. Not, you know, not wanting the limelight. Amen. You know, it is sometimes a hard thing, day in and day out, to Sunday and Sunday out, week in and week out, to be with the same group of people. God didn't say it was going to be easy, but he gave you that responsibility. And that's where you and I should be. Amen. Not leaving the flock. And when you leave the flock, what happens? The wolves can come in. They can come in and pull away and take one of your sheep away. So you ought to be there. Your responsibility is to be there, preacher. To watch over, to have the oversight, amen, and to watch and protect the flock from wolves, from anyone who will try to come in and take one of those wolves, take one of those sheep away from you, amen. That's where we're to be, not off preaching, you know, some conference here and there, and oh, you're great, and listening to all these accolades, amen. No, God's going to bless you and reward you for what he has given you to do. And if he's blessed you with a local New Testament church, then that's where you need to be, without exception. Of course, like I said, there are times when you may go and you need to get a break and you maybe need to preach to another crowd. But most of the time, all of the time, you're to be with your flock that God has put you over. And that's what he's going to judge you for when he comes, when he appears, is how you oversaw your folks. Amen. How you watched out for their souls. How can you watch out for somebody's soul if you're off somewhere preaching a conference? Amen. No, the time for the accolades will be when we hit heaven's shore. Not now. Amen. Not now. You know, God, when you get up there, I hope to see, hope to hear the Lord say that, you know, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. In doing what he set me out to do. Amen. So we see then, yes, God's woes to pastors. Amen. Woe to those that will destroy and scatter his flock. Amen. Woe to those pastors that will feed themselves and not feed the flock of God. And woe to those pastors, to the idle shepherd that leaveth his flock. We're going to continue our look at the woes, some more woes in the Bible, when we meet again on the pastor's study. Again, I want to thank you, each and every one of you, who have taken the time out of your busy day to listen to the broadcast here in the pastor's study. And if I can be a help or a blessing to you in any way, I would love to hear from you. At the close of the broadcast, you'll be given the address where you can contact me at, and I hope you would. I'd love to hear from you. If you need